Welcome to Victory Christian Center of Rancho Mirage, California. We are a house of mercy and a church for the harvest, shaking the desert with the power and the love of God, taking Jesus to the world from the Coachella Valley. We pray that the word that you are about to listen to will increase and strengthen your faith. Enjoy today's message. Victorious, he lay victorious. Over sin, over death, over all, over us. Victorious, he lay victorious. Say this with me. This is my Bible. And this is God speaking to me. I am who the Bible says I am. I have what God's word says I have, and I can do what the scriptures say I can do. Well, let me just start out by saying I have really, really, really good news for you that Jesus purchased our healing, spirit, mind, and body. And we're talking about emotional healing this month and claiming unclaimed baggage. And so I know that sometimes that's a little kind of different from what you may have heard. I grew up in church. And I love church, and I love the Word, and I love Jesus, but I never heard teaching like what we're hearing here, not because I think I'm a special case, but because I've been through so much, I have a lot to share with you. Because sometimes there are emotional wounds, and there is pain in our past that affects our present that we ignore. And we just leave it on the carousel of life, and we don't pick up that unclaimed baggage because it's a little intimidating and it might be a little bit painful to deal with it. But our trust and our confidence in opening ourselves to healing in emotional areas is in the gentleness and the kindness and the faithfulness of God, because He's involved in it, and because we invite the Holy Spirit to be a part of that process, we don't have to be intimidated and we don't have to be fearful. He's very gentle and He's very patient, and He won't inflict more on us than it results in goodness for us. Are you here? So we talked about last week, what is this unclaimed baggage? And the unclaimed baggage are those things from our past, whether experiences or beliefs, that are unhealthy and that affect us presently in an unhealthy way. How we relate with God, or how we relate with ourselves, how we love other people, interact with other people, whether we trust or don't trust other people, trust them too much, don't trust them at all. All kinds of things can arise from pain of our past and beliefs that we have absorbed. You know, sometimes just growing up, things happen, and we're the sum total sort of our experiences, and so we come up with conclusions about the world and about others and about ourselves and about God that are sometimes misinformed and that need updating and upgrading and improving. Those beliefs need to be changed, and that's why as we journey with the Lord, it's called transformation. Be transformed, the scripture says. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed to God's will and know His good, acceptable, and perfect will. And that happens by spending time in the Word. So as we unpack, as we claim that baggage and we unpack it and we say, okay, Lord, walk with me through this. I want this to be a safe process, but You help me, even if there's some painful things in my past, to resolve those and bring healing and hope and strength from what may have been intended by the enemy to be a weakness. See, in our weakness, He's made strong. In our brokenness is where healing comes. And so the Apostle Paul said this. He prayed for the church at Thessalonica, and here's what he said. I pray that God will sanctify you wholly, completely, entirely. Your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless to the coming of the Lord. So you are a spirit. The eternal part of you, the person that sits in this room, the eternal part of you is your spirit. Nicodemus came to Jesus. He said, what must I do to be saved? Jesus said, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, I'm a grown man, too big to enter into my mother's womb to be born again. Jesus said, no, that is your flesh. That's your physical part of you. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit. You must be born again spiritually. And once we have made that connection with our Creator through Jesus Christ, then we become a new creation and a new creature. Old things are passed away. Everything has become new. And we claim that reality, and we walk in that reality, but sometimes we do that with some components that clog that flow, because we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. You're never going to be any more right. The longest day in heaven, you'll not be any more righteous than you are right now. Not righteousness that we have earned, but righteousness that has been deposited into our lives without having earned it. It's imputed to us. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. Our own righteousness is silly to even think about that, but his righteousness is a reality. But walking out that righteousness, letting that righteousness be our reflex rather than pain causing the reflex, letting that righteousness cause the facial expression when we're frustrated rather than a pain of our past or a similar experience that we had when we were a kid or last week or a friendship or a church in the past. People get church hurt, family hurt, hurt just by the world, school hurt. All kinds of hurts come in and they affect us. And we want to walk out that righteousness that has been deposited within us. Are you with me? And that doesn't happen automatically. And we talked about last week how even though we're the righteousness of God, that I'm filled with the peace of Jesus, and that's all good, and we can claim that, and it's real, and it really is true. And then it gets interrupted by someone who cuts us off in traffic. Hey, where'd the peace go? I'm not walking in that new man reality. I feel like the old man has risen up and a spirit of homicide has come on me. Right? So that's what I'm talking about. So Jesus provided healing for us, for our whole person. Spiritually, emotionally, physically, Jesus is the great physician. Because he's not just a physician for a physical being. He's not just a physician for our spirit man. He is the physician also for our emotions and our soulish man. And he wants us to be every way whole. Thank you, Gavin. Appreciate that. So what are we going to do about unclaimed baggage? And again, the good news is the Lord is so kind, so gracious, so patient, so merciful, so gentle about helping us move toward healing. And emotional healing is probably for most of us more, you know, physical healing. Yeah, let me pray for me, lay hands on me, anoint me with oil, let me get to the doctor. We're more prone to be aggressive about wanting physical healing. Sometimes when we think about emotional pain, we don't want to go there. And pain, as we mentioned, for our physical body, is really a gift in this sense that it's an indicator, it's kind of a warning system, it's an alert that something's wrong. Pain says something is wrong, and emotional pain should tell us something is wrong. Something needs to be looked at. And so that's where we're going, all right? Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, real quickly, just recap this one little piece, because you can go on the website, and the podcasts of the messages are on there now. You can listen to those right from your smartphone or your computer. And the Corinthian church, they were spirit-filled and Holy Spirit-empowered and flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. But they had some unclaimed baggage. They had emotional wounds that were leaking out. Let me just tell you something. If we don't deal with emotional woundedness head on, it will leak out somewhere. In ways that we don't want it to. Because It's coming out. Are you with me? Pain speaks. Pain acts. Are you with me? Just like joy. Joy speaks. Joy, peace speaks. And peace acts. There's action based on what goes on within us. Out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks. And so it's important to be filled with healthy stuff rather than wounded, painful stuff. And so all I'm doing is making you aware that it's okay if there's stuff in your past, if there's unclaimed baggage, it's okay to go pick that up. No need to be ashamed or frightened about it. The Lord will help us. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would teach us and help us and comfort us and console us and show us things to come and bring things to our remembrance and guide us into truth and all that the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. Don't ignore the wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. He wants to help us with that stuff. So the Corinthian church, they thought they were very spiritual because they had gifts that were flowing through them. But always remember that gifts of the Spirit are gifts. They're just that. They're not earned spiritual badges. They're gifts. And let me also encourage you to remember that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit are not toys for the saints. They're tools for the harvest. And I just see a lot of silly stuff in this hour. And it's just really time to be in love with Jesus, to be in love with each other, to love a hurting world, and say, Holy Spirit, how can you help me? How can you empower me? How can you gift me to be a part of this end time harvest? And not just being playing games or tiddlywinks with the gifts of the Spirit and tickling each other and, you know, goosebump trail stuff. Did the mic go off, actually? Okay. So Paul says here, okay, so you have the gifts of the Spirit. That's wonderful. All of us should desire spiritual gifts. That's what the Scripture says. Every one of us should say, okay, Holy Spirit, use me. Speak through me. Give me a word of knowledge. Give me a word of God's wisdom. Give me a prophetic insight. Let me speak out healings and miracles. Are you with me? All of us should line up and say, yeah, I want to. But if you move in that, it's simply an indication that God is good and wonderful, and he loves you, and he loves helping people through you, and he will use imperfect vessels like you and me. But the gifts of the Spirit are indicators that God's good. They're not indicators of our spiritual maturity. I said, the gifts of the Spirit are indicators of God's goodness and willingness and readiness to help people through imperfect vessels. The gifts of the Spirit are not indicators that we're spiritually mature. Because the Corinthian church had lots of gifts flowing, but they had some unclaimed baggage. So here's what Paul said. Hey, I wanted to talk to you like you're spiritual people, but I have to talk to you like babies. I fed you with milk and not with meat, verse 2, for you weren't able to bear meat before, neither, you're still not able. Yeah, but I prophesied 3 times last week. Yeah, you're a baby.
Yeah, right.
He knew that they were emotionally broken and spiritually immature, and he knew that they had unclaimed baggage because he said, I know you're carnal, verse 3, because there is strife and envying and division. Aren't you carnal and walk as men? One of you says, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I have my favorite preacher, and I don't like that one, I like this one. And he says, that's baby stuff. And there are people, because of their wounded past, who are addicted to drama. They don't feel alive unless it is absolute chaotic turmoil in their life. And you may know them. And possibly they're in your seat right now. I don't know. Just laugh like at that, and then we'll all think you're all right. I had a dog named Ralph. Ralph was a great dog. I told my family we're not going to have a dog, and so they went to the pound and brought one home. And that's the true story right there. And we named him Ralph, and I love that. And Ralph is a cool name. He was a perfect name for Ralph, and he was a big dog, kind of a mutt, and part pit bull, I'm sure. And he'd been abused, and if you even walk around him, he'd jump up in fear. And by the time we had him about 12 years, I think, and he helped raise all the kids, and as a dog does. And by the time he's been around us for a long time, he's so calm we could step right over him, which is just so opposite how we first got him. But Ralph had, a few little bad habits. And so if he would do something that he knew was wrong, like get on the couch. So we'd come home, and he'd jump down off the couch. And then he wouldn't look at you. You probably all had a dog like that, or you've seen. And so Ralph, and he'd look away. Have you been on the couch, Ralph? Because Ralph knew he was in trouble, and dogs want to please, and so he was embarrassed, and he was concerned, and maybe some fear, whatever. We didn't really whip up on him or anything, but he didn't want to face his issue of having been on the couch. And a lot of times when the Lord starts saying, hey, I want to bring healing to this area of your life, we start going like Ralph, kind of look at, I'm blessed. I'm filled with joy. Yeah, but what about that pain? Let me touch that. I got that covered. And that's called in psychology, I don't mean to be overly, it's not a psychology lesson, but those are called defense mechanisms, where something gets a little too anxiety producing about us, we shut that down by defense mechanism. We'll talk about those, but let's look at a couple of great Bible examples. Aren't you grateful that God's word tells it like the real stuff? And you see, virtually every great Bible hero screwed up somehow. Royally, most of them. And they killed somebody or got drunk or cussed at God. They just things that they did that are, we don't really realize because we kind of pass over them in the Bible story. But these are real people that really loved God and that God really used, and that were precious to him, and that messed up, and that had baggage, that had emotional woundedness, who had a past that was affecting how they lived life. You think of Joseph's, in the Old Testament, his brothers, they hated his guts because he was always kind of the favorite. And so they had experiences that caused them to hate their own brother, and even want at one point to kill their own brother, and sold him into slavery, and the things that pain, just the family dynamic of he's the favorite, how wounding that can be, and the resulting action, how profound it can be. Are you all here? Yeah. That's right in the Bible. So maybe you were the favorite, and there's a burden that comes with that. Maybe you were the least favorite. Maybe your sibling was the favorite, and you feel like you got a raw deal, and that maybe affects how you relate with someone who looks like they're favored. Maybe you recoil from them. Maybe you're critical of them. Maybe, are you with me? So we're talking about real life stuff that Jesus wants to heal, but that we are sort of reluctant to open up because of the potential pain, but we rest in his goodness and in his wisdom and in his timing. And simply saying to the Lord, and it's really what I'm inviting you to do, to say to the Lord, if there's areas of healing that I really need to, if it's in the past and it's not affecting me, leave it back there. But if there's unclaimed baggage that is affecting me today, Lord, help me to face that and bring hope to that and healing to that. Yes. All right. Turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 3. And I want you to see how this works now. When we read this little story here about Adam and Eve, see if you don't see Ralph. Before we begin in chapter 3, look at the very last verse of Genesis chapter 2. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. So here they are in the garden. God comes down every day in the cool of the day to commune with them and to fellowship with them and to hang out with them. And they're together, Adam and Eve, naked, transparent, hiding nothing, and there's no shame. It's a great, great story. Let me encourage, if you're a parent, and this is a little side thought, but it may be helpful to you, let me remind you that our Heavenly Father, who is a perfect Father, created a perfect environment for His son and daughter. So a perfect Father, a perfect environment, perfect provision, perfect peace, perfect weather, perfect everything. And they still screwed it up. So we're imperfect parents, so we shouldn't think it strange that because we're part of the human condition here and that are kids, but we're claiming, if you have wayward children, we're claiming them for the kingdom. We're claiming a harvest from the north and the south and the east and the west that includes your unsaved family members and your wayward kids that Acts 16 is real, that says, if we believe on the Lord Jesus, we'll be saved and our house. Everyone say, and my house. And my house. So we're calling them into the kingdom of God. But if they've messed up, you're in good company with Almighty God, because His kids messed it up too. So don't be too hard on yourself. Chapter 3, verse 1. So they were in the garden, Adam and Eve, transparent and naked before one another. And they were not ashamed. Verse 1 of chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And he said to the woman, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, don't eat that. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said, you won't die. The enemy's always trying to get us to doubt God's word, to doubt God's way, to cause us to deviate from his standard. God knows that in the day, verse 5, that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened and you shall be like gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, and she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made for themselves aprons. And then they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves. Uh-oh, things have changed. What are we trying to hide from God? What are we covering up? What are we sowing fig leaves for? Possibly unclaimed baggage. And the Lord called unto Adam, and he said, where are you? And he's hiding out. See, here's the introduction of guilt. because they were not ashamed. Guilt. Ralph has been on the couch. He's guilty. And he's going to hide. Not hide himself, but he's going to hide his eyes. And he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked. Here's an introduction of shame. Guilt and shame have been introduced into the human experience. And God said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree wherever commanded you not to eat? And Adam said, the woman you gave me. So now we've got guilt and shame and blame. The woman you gave me. Not, Lord, I'm so sorry. Help me deal with this. I want to work it out. Help me. I've messed up here. I've disobeyed you. No, that's not his solution, because that's too painful. He's going to point to the woman that God gave him. Verse 12, and the man said, the woman that you gave me to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. And the Lord said to the woman, what's this thing that you've done? And the woman said, the devil made me do it. The serpent beguiled me. So often when there's emotional damage, there's woundedness, there's emotional pain for us, we want that away from ourselves. I don't want to think about that. I don't want to deal with that. It's probably God's will. Maybe the devil did it. Probably my wife or my husband or the pastor or the deacons or the neighbor. It's amazing how many people have a series of 7 or 8 or 9 just really bad bosses in a row. You working? No, that boss was an idiot. You mean the one at so-and-so? No, that was an idiot too, but the last three have been idiots too. I mean, just I've had this whole string of idiot bosses, and so no, I'm not working. Creflo Dollar preached here a few years ago. Remember, he said, you know, if the apartment you live in burns down, and you move into Mama's house and her house burns down, and then you even move into Big Mama's house and her house burns down, there's something on you. And so sometimes it's our own woundedness that leads to painful experiences and that are going to continue unless we're willing to say, okay, Lord, help me with that pain. And that we don't walk in a defense mechanism. Let me talk to you about defense mechanisms, and we'll look at another example. A defense mechanism is an unconscious tactic to protect ourselves against anxiety and to safeguard our mind against feelings and thoughts that are too difficult for the conscious mind to cope with. People actually, they just shut down when they get overstimulated or anxious about a painful experience. Let me just mention a few of them here really quickly. You'll know this one. Denial, which is an outright refusal to admit or to recognize an occurrence. Repression, it keeps info out of our conscious awareness. Like if sometimes when children are abused, they repress that and they keep it out of their thinking. I don't want to think about that. And so if it kind of comes up, they'll leave the room or shut that down, repress it. Displacement is where we take out the emotional pain that we're in kind of indirectly. And so if you have a bad day at work, you come home and kick the dog. Displacement. Sublimation was where anger is directed more acceptably. So if you just kind of have an angry existence that you take up some, like kickboxing or boxing or something that you can do to redirect that. Projection is our unacceptable qualities and feelings are ascribed to others. So maybe you're a complainer and you're uncomfortable with being a complainer, a whiner, always whining and complaining and kind of victim and all that kind of stuff. And you find someone else that complains a little bit and you just project, oh, you're such a complainer, when it's really your own stuff that's bugging you. That's called projection, intellectualization, where we look at events from a cold or clinical approach without emotional attachment. Rationalization, we explain our behavior or feelings in rational, logical ways. And reaction formation, regression, acting out. Acting out's a big way to remove ourselves from feelings. So sometimes when people get anxious, well, I better drink. Always remember that addictive behaviors will always have justification. Are you here?
Yes.
Affairs begin with justification. Acting out behaviors are a result of justification. Well, I had a good day at work, I should drink. I had a bad day at work, so I should drink. It's the weekend, so I should drink. It's the first of the week, so I should drink. I mean, there's always an excuse to drink for an alcoholic. Are you with me? Acting out. Oh, sarcasm can be, which I have a PhD in sarcasm. It comes so naturally to me. I have to check myself all the time. So those are defense mechanisms. So Adam and Eve sowed fig leaves and hid out. I'm going to be under the bush over here. And God called and they didn't answer. And all that's defending against pain that the Lord wants to heal. Let's look at one other verse here in 2 Samuel chapter 12. David, King David, who, let me remind you, was a man after God's own heart. He was a worshiper. He was a man of courage. Wonderful, wonderful biblical character. And he had issues. And he had slept with Bathsheba and had an adulterous relationship with her and gotten her pregnant. Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, was at the front of the battle, and David called him home so that he could trick him into sleeping with his wife so that then he would believe that the baby is his. And this, being a man of integrity and quality of character, said, no, I'm not gonna enjoy a relation with my wife while my men are in harm's way, and refused to sleep with his wife. And so then David sent him into battle and had other soldiers draw back, and he was killed. And so basically David had him assassinated. David's going on with his life. In chapter 12, verse 1, it says, the Lord sent Nathan to David. And Nathan came to him and said, there were two men in a city. One was a rich man and one was a poor man. Now the rich man had lots of flocks and herds and just innumerable amounts of livestock, and the poor man had nothing except one little lamb, which he had brought up and nourished. And it grew up together with him and with his children and ate at his table and drank from his cup and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter. It was a precious lamb to the poor man. And there came a traveler to the rich man, and the rich man didn't take one of his own flock. There's multitudes of, as I said, livestock, but he took the poor man's lamb and killed it and fixed it for the guest. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man that has done this is going to die. And he's going to restore the lamb fourfold because he did such a thing and because he had no pity. So here David is hearing a story about his own failure, his own shortcoming, his own sin, his own stuff. But he is in such full flow of defense mechanism, he's not even getting it. It's not even dawning on him. He's so able to push that away that he says, this guy ought to be killed. And Nathan says, you're the man. That man will die. That man will pay. And the message was, you're the man. Thou art the man. So that's how refusing to pick up the luggage, that's what it looks like. Are you here?
Yes.
Turn with me to the 103rd Psalm. We'll conclude with this. 103. As we say to the Lord, let me be honest with you. Personally, I had to crash and burn in order to break off the defense mechanisms. And I just don't want other believers to have to do that. And I don't want anyone in this room to have to do that. To mess up your life somehow, to get ensconced in some dysfunctional behavior or compulsive living or addictive living. I don't want that for you. And there's no need for it. Are you all here? If we'll just say, okay, Lord. And sometimes it's just too painful to think about. So our confidence has to be in his graciousness. Otherwise, it's just too painful sometimes. And I don't preach on this in order for you to try and think up something. Well, maybe, you know, I should. If it's not hindering you in your present, forget it. Like Paul said, forget the things that are behind. Reach forward to the things that are ahead. Press toward that mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. Leave it back there. Check it once in a while in the rearview mirror, but keep your big focus on the windshield ahead. And if you can gain wisdom from a past experience, gain the wisdom and don't, but if it's hindering you now, that's what I'm talking about. Let the Lord touch that. And we can and this is David speaking here, and here's how we're going to frame if you're going to say, okay, Lord, let's look at that, let's work on that. That's a painful past memory or an experience, and I would like to bring some healing there. And next week we're going to talk a little bit about that, what we tell ourselves about current experiences, how we process those and what we make of things. And, you know, obviously, if you get caught off in traffic, I always like to use traffic because it's such a vivid, real thing for me. If I could just drive for everyone, it would be a good world. I just have to drive my own car. That's all I can do is control my car. I can't control other people's car. I want to really badly, but I can't do it. And so how we process someone cutting us off, and we're sure that they did that intentionally to disrespect us, and or they're an idiot. Or maybe they're just their first time to the Coachella Valley and trying to find Victory Christian Center. And no, seriously, I mean, that could be real. I love little, this is a funny story real quickly. One of the times Oral Roberts preached when we were in the old building in Cathedral City. And his first time to the building, we had moved from one rented building to another rented building. He'd not been there. And so he couldn't find it because it was kind of off the beaten path there on Kiley Road. So he stopped at the Circle K, and he said, "Do you know where Victory Christian Center is? It's on Kiley Road." And they said, "Oh, yeah, it's just down the street and take a left." And the clerk said to Oral, "By the way, I know who you are." And Oral said, "You do?" And the clerk said, "Yes, I do." And he said, "Who am I?" And they said, "Rex Humbard." I love that story. Psalm 103. So here's the basis on which we say, okay, God, let's do some healing in my emotions. I'm a spirit, I have a soul, I have emotions, and I live in this body. And so you want to heal. You want me to be every way whole. So I'm going to say, let's have some healing here if we need that. And here's what David said, and this gives us a great foundation for that healing process. David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. He heals all our iniquities, and he forgives all of our iniquities and heals all our diseases. He redeems our life from destruction, and he crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies." You think about David and what he had involved himself in and his confidence in the kindness of God. "He satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles, and the Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed, and he made known his ways to Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is slow to anger, and he is plenteous in mercy." I don't know about you, but if you're on social media, when I read some of the posts of Christians, they need to read this passage right here. They're angry. Whew. And they want God to be angry. But he ain't. "The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is slow to anger. The Lord is plenteous in mercy, and he'll not always chide, neither shall he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us." Listen, "he has not dealt with us according to our sins and not rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. He knows our frame, and he remembers that we're dust." He gets that struggle. He gets that we're wounded. He gets that there's brokenness. He understands that that results in behavior that we would really not choose if it weren't for the pain that kind of foists us into that. That's why he wants to bring healing. So I pray, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 over you. I pray, God, sanctify you wholly, completely, entirely. That your whole spirit and mind are your will and emotions and body. Your whole spirit and soul and body, your whole spirit, your emotions, and your body be preserved blameless. I pray that over you like the Apostle Paul prayed it over the church at Thessalonica. I pray it over you because it was given under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and it is the will of God. It's the Word of God, therefore it is the will of God. And so I declare his will over you in Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning in today. We would love to see and to meet you at one of our weekend services. We are located at 34500 Bob Hope Drive in Rancho Mirage, California. Our services are on Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Please check out our website for more information at www.victorychristian.org and for the most up-to-date, exciting events that are taking place at Victory. We pray that you would prosper in every way and be in health, just as your soul prospers. You are victorious.